Well, hello everyone and welcome back. Today is Friday, December 12th, 2014. My name is Angela Walton-Raji and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, everyone, how are you? I hope you're doing well. December is rolling right along. Oh my goodness, can you believe it? In less than 2 weeks? Yeah, it's going to be Christmas Day or Christmas Eve anyway. So it's just, I'm amazed. Like, it's hard for me to realize that the year is almost over as well. I'm sure that many of you are involved with shopping for the holidays, and maybe some of you are preparing to travel. There may be others who are preparing to receive guests. So anyway, I am just really, really, really busy myself, but I've been having a good time this week, been doing some research, been working on a number of projects, have had some fun this week on some social media sites, been speaking with people about their family history, able to help them out a little bit too. So, of course, that's always lots of fun for me. And I'm sure it's just as interesting for many of you as well, and hope it is going well. Well, okay. The events of the year are over, with exception of maybe a few online workshops and what have you. But you know, holiday time is a wonderful time to start making plans for the next year, set some goals. And I'm going to come back to that because next year is a landmark year or a milestone year, the sesquicentennial of the beginning of freedom for so many of our ancestors. And I do want to talk about that, certainly. In terms of looking ahead and plotting some of those goals. And of course, during this holiday time, well, I'm sure if you're planning for visitors or planning for events that you may be getting ready to go to, this is a good time to go back and revisit what you have. Time to start converting things from paper to electronic. I'm not saying dispose of your paper documents, but I am saying back them up electronically should something happen. You know, store them in more than one place. Store them certainly on your computer, but what if you lose your computer or something happens to it? Put things in the cloud as well. But this is a time to really start to go through that and start to work on those opportunities to back things up. Great time to do that. And this is the time to also look around and say, hey, do I need to update? Do I need to get some toys for myself? Maybe it's time to get that little digital recorder or that scanner. It can be a flatbed. It might be one of those portable scanners. There are all kinds of options that are out there for you. And this is a great time maybe to put some of these on your own wish list or for what I call also the after Christmas list. I oftentimes like to see what I might be able to find in terms of sales. And also, as you're renewing your subscriptions, there are going to be some end of the year subscriptions that are going to be coming up. So keep your eyes posted on those subscription sites to see if they have any specials that are going on. And of course, sometimes there are beginning new year specials as well. So watch your favorite sites that you use for data that you must subscribe to if they're not free, but also take a look at some of the other places from which you may obtain books, from which you may obtain software, all kinds of things. Speaking of software, well, that reminds me of technology. Yes. I'm talking about Roots Tech, and I'm really excited about that. You may want to start to plan. If you happen to be anywhere, certainly west of Texas or Colorado, you know, hey, why don't you consider coming to Roots Tech? It's in February in Salt Lake City, beautiful country, and it's going to be an awful lot of fun, particularly because Roots Tech and the Federation of Genealogical Societies are hosting a joint event. I say event because it's not one conference. It is two conferences going on at the same site. Everything at the Salt Palace and downtown Salt Lake City is just going to be just an exciting place to be in February. Go to rootstech.org and take a look. I'm going to be there. I know Bernice Bennett will be there. Shelley Murphy will be there. So many other people are going to be there as well. This is going to be what promises to be the largest genealogical gathering in history. Last year's was history making, and they had well over 9,000 people who were there in attendance. And this promises to be even larger than that. Fun, definitely. So a lot of things to look forward to, a lot of things to plan for. I'm looking forward to speaking in early February, also in the greater Washington area, the African American Genealogical Societies. Five societies are going to be sponsoring a Black History Month celebration, and it's going to be an all-day genealogy workshop. How good is that? And information is going to be going up pretty soon about that. But if you're in the greater Washington area on the East Coast or in the Mid-Atlantic area, you may want to try and make that. It's going to be wonderful. Again, five societies are co-hosting or co-sponsoring this. Wow, what greater opportunity. This may be also a good time. I encourage people, and it is my own personal bias, I admit it, but yes, I do like to write, I do like to record things. This may be the perfect time to commit yourself maybe to a writing or documenting project, and it does not have to be something electronic, so I'm not trying to push you to blog, although I love blogs, but I'm encouraging you to start documenting and telling your own stories. Don't you wish that your own ancestors had left things for you? I wish I had diaries and letters to go through. Oh my goodness, what a joy that would be. Well, I very, very strongly encourage you to start journaling and start documenting as well. Excuse me, there are so many different types of journals to keep. There's so many options for you. And for me, it's been good to, I started out a few months ago just kind of bringing back to life my old planner, and I realized, well, my life really doesn't fit into those little slots on that calendar keeping system or planner system. And then I started looking around. I saw a few videos of some very creative people, how they were documenting their own life. Wow, there's even a Document Your Life project going on. I'm not involved with that, but I have made a commitment to documenting my life in a different kind of way. I think that's something that we may all want to start to do, because as we're writing things down, you're leaving clues and messages for the following generation. Some of us are lucky when we can find those documents that reflect our ancestors' words. I remember how I felt the first time I read my great-grandparents' words in front of the Dawes Commission in Oklahoma. They had been enslaved in the Choctaw Nation, but I learned so much. Multiple generational data that came out of those interviews. And since that time, first of all, I was very humbled to read the words that they had uttered under oath in the 1890s. Well, to see additional information forthcoming, what a treat that was. And to find out exactly where they lived, their allotment records, just the data was amazing. Then I began on Civil War research, documented my first Civil War ancestor, and what an amazing experience that was to find my mother's great-grandmother as she was testifying in front of the Pension Bureau, trying to obtain the pension of her husband who had died in the Civil War. My goodness, the data, the family data was so rich. And this was something that certainly, I guess, altered the trajectory of at least this branch of the family research. Incredible kinds of things. Well, one of the things I'm going to be doing over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to be taking most of those paper files, scanning each of them, and making sure that I have an electronic version that's going to be in the cloud. It's time that we utilize the technology that is there. I am often struck by the many kinds of ways that documents slip away from us. I am clearly amazed and often saddened when I hear the stories of, you know, an act of nature. Something happens. There's a flood. There's a fire. There may be another natural disaster, a hurricane, tornado, and then artifacts get lost. And, you know, you can get another house. You can get another sofa, but can you get another portrait if you don't have that image saved someplace? Because those are the things that you want the most and that you find that are the most heartbreaking when you lose things. Well, you know, we are researchers and we preserve, but we must also be researchers who prevent. We prevent loss by creating those backups to what we have. Think about it, especially if you've been doing genealogical research for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, or more. I've been doing this close to 30 years, but if you have been doing this kind of research for so long, should a natural disaster come or some reason that your research is lost or destroyed in maybe an accident, a fire or something, will you really go back, or would you really go back and recreate it all? Will you remember all of the different twists and turns that your family narrative has taken to be able to recreate that? This is the time to recreate. Well, maybe that's not the right word. Perhaps it's better said that this is the time to prevent. And we prevent by preserving, but we preserve in different ways. We preserve the paper documents and other artifacts and making sure they're protected in acid-free covers and what have you. But we also preserve by preventing total loss. And we prevent total loss by scanning, saving, putting on other devices, putting on external devices, external hard drive, what have you, and making sure that this data rests, you know, in a place that is apart from your home. And of course, what better place apart of your home than the cloud? So some things to really consider. But, you know, this is also just a great time, of course, to make new memories. And I know you're going to be doing that over the holiday season. That goes without saying. I mentioned the season coming up, but before I talk about looking ahead to next year, I want to remind you to go and listen to last night's broadcast of Bernice Bennett's show, Research at the National Archives and Beyond. And her guest was Maurice Barboza, and he is involved with an amazing project to honor the patriots of color. By patriot, I mean those individuals who were the people of color who were patriots from the American Revolution. Yes, more than one person of color fought and died in the Revolution. We always hear about Crispus Attucks and the Battle of Lexington. We always hear that story. Well, you know, he was not the only one, and he is the nephew, in fact, of a lady who made the headlines. Oh gosh, it's been well over 25 years ago, maybe longer than that. His aunt was very much the person who cracked the door open for other women of color to be inducted into the NSDAR, the National Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution. She filed suit, and she actually was successful and opened the door where now other women have been able to join the Daughters of the American Revolution. And this is a lineage society, and it's a lineage of individuals who can point to the beginning of the formation of the nation and to prove that they were there, that they were contributors. And there were well over, and it has been well documented, over 5,000 men of color served in the Army, in the American side, obviously, in the war against the British. And it's something that, you know, it's not widely known. Those 5,000 patriots must have hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of descendants. And as a result, look at the many lines that can now be documented, putting families and connecting them back to their patriot ancestor. And particularly, I guess I appreciated hearing Maurice Barboza talk about the fact that, yes, there were African Americans who were also invested in the same quest for freedom. Granted, there were a lot of obstacles, and free people of color in the colonial era, theirs was not an easy road to toe either. And of course, we know collectively the overall experience for people of African ancestry was certainly full of challenges. Many of those challenges that were legal. It was legal to prevent people from voting and to do so many of the other things that people had to do. Many had to leave their place of birth and migrate west to Ohio and migrate to other communities because they were no longer allowed to stay. Theirs was not an easy journey, but we also know, of course, those that were enslaved also had a more than difficult road towards freedom and a road towards negotiating their own lives. And it's something that we have to remember that. Well, anyway, it has been interesting to learn. Goodness, I know that there are now well over 100 members in the DAR. I don't know what the number is for those who are inducted into the SAR, the Sons of the American Revolution. But nevertheless, I think it's worthwhile listening to. And particularly for me, it was intriguing to hear the entire quest for the establishment of a monument. And this was the focus of the question and answers that were shared by her guest, because he has been leading really the way and carrying the torch for the establishment of a memorial to the Black patriots of the American Revolution. And it's been exciting to hear about this, hear about the numbers of people who were there. And this will be only the second monument when, and they have 7 years for this to happen, when it will really be installed. But this will be the second monument on the National Mall in Washington that will be honoring patriots of any color on from the American Revolution. The other monument, of course, we all know, is the Washington Monument. But listen to the show. As you know, Ms. Bennett's show airs every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And of course, if you missed it, you can tune in. I'll put a link for you there. You can tune in and listen to the show as a podcast. And you can also download the show from iTunes as well. Well, I mentioned, of course, trying to get ready for the new year, trying to look ahead, create new projects and goals that I have on my list. And I hope that you have a list as well. But instead of just, oh, here's my list of resolutions, I'll get more organized, and oh, I promise to bracket my data every week, that's a given, and I do hope you make those resolutions. But I want to give you 10 suggestions on how you can celebrate 2015. 2015 is a milestone year. It will be 150 years of freedom. 150 years of the end since the end of the Civil War. 150 years since the passage of the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which was the amendment that abolished slavery. I'm often surprised how few people know how slavery was really abolished. Many of us know how the war ended. Oh yeah, Lee surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse, but they have no idea. Doesn't mean it was enforced, the idea of freeing those enslaved, but many people really don't know that. So I have for you 10 suggestions in honor of the sesquicentennial of our freedom that you may want to consider undertaking for this 150th anniversary year. And of course, Yes, only 150 years. We still were enslaved for many more years than we have been free. But nevertheless, let's celebrate that. Celebrate and honor your ancestors. Every 4th of July, I'm sure you're having a barbecue and the children are setting off firecrackers for something that they may not even fully understand. But gosh, every human being can understand freedom. And it's time we decide to celebrate it. I have some suggestions for you. I have 10 of them on a way in which you can honor your ancestors in 2015, the sesquicentennial anniversary of freedom. Number one, find your family's freedom story. Everyone knows, okay, well, slavery ended after the Civil War, and the slaves were freed. Well, how did freedom come to your family? Trust me, the word just didn't come to various places. Slaves are free, and the old slave master called them together and said, okay, you can go. There was a lot of resistance, and in fact, some people lost their lives because they were trying to execute their new freedom, and they found resistance and paid with their lives. But how did freedom come actually to your family? Were they emancipated when a Union raid came through? Did your ancestors, some of them, enlist in the U.S. colored troops and join the Union Army to fight for the freedom? Did they flee and follow and make their way to the Union line and live in a contraband camp? Find your family freedom story. Number two, expand your knowledge of the ancestral community. Make a commitment to do that. If your family was from Gainesville, Georgia, then learn everything that you can learn about African American history in Gainesville, Georgia. If your family was from Abbeville, South Carolina, or from LaFleur County, Oklahoma, well, I'll ask you a question. Who is the authority on African American history from that particular community? In many cases, and I bet in most cases, the answer is no one. Well, that, my friend, is my challenge to you. Become that authority. Expand your knowledge of the ancestral community and celebrate freedom. Number three, tell the family's Civil War story. The Civil War affected Americans of all colors, classes, and communities. You may have an ancestor who served with the United States colored troops. There were over 178,000 documented African American soldiers and sailors. Was your ancestor one of them? Perhaps that's the story you need to tell. Or if they weren't in the Civil War, were they perhaps civilians who worked at a Union Army camp when once given that opportunity? Or was there another story? Were they taken by the slave master to be a body servant to them, still experiencing the climate of war? How did the community where your ancestors live, how did they respond to the war that was unfolding? How did it affect the community? What happened after the war? Did they have to flock to a Freedmen's Bureau office for food, for rations? There are documents that can help you tell that story. So definitely tell the family Civil War story. Number four, adopt a Civil War soldier. Is there one in the family? Is there one in the community? Revisit a cemetery and see if you see any Civil War headstones. And if you do, that might just be the story that you want to focus on. Find out the history of that soldier. Document his history. Get the service records. And if he or a surviving widow or minor child got a pension, get that file and start to tell that story. Embrace that soldier's history. Number five, tell the history of a regiment that either settled or served in your ancestral community or was organized perhaps in the community where your ancestors lived. There's a wonderful opportunity for you to document that history and to really go and explore a unique part of history that hasn't been told nearly enough. So yes, tell that community's history by telling the history of a regiment. Number six, find one soldier, and if you can determine that this person was found to have obtained a pension, commit yourself to giving that soldier back to his community. And what do I mean by that? By telling his story and sharing his story with others who are preservationists and historians from that community. Number seven, identify the critical places in the Civil War era in your state. In the state. Yes, I said the state. Example A, you could find that, there may have been some essential Civil War battles that were perhaps fought in your state. Identify them, talk about those landmark places, and maybe work with a local group to get a historical marker placed there if there's not one there already. If there is one there already, make a visit. Go and visit that site. B, determine whether there was a Freedmen's Savings Office or a branch, of course, or a Freedmen's Bureau field office. Determine where they were in your state and see if you can learn where they may have been located. And I'll give you a clue. You can find out where they're located. All you have to do is find out where the Union Army encampment was. More than likely, right after the war, that's where the freedmen went to get assistance with rations, register marriages, and do so many other things. See, maybe identify some contraband camps in the state. There were probably some that were there. You would be surprised. Now, you're probably saying, how in the world am I going to find out where there may have been USCTs or whether there was a Freedmen's Bureau field office or a Freedmen's Savings Bank or a contraband camp? How in the world would I find that information? Well, I'll just tell you to keep your eyes and ears open because there's about to be released a new finding aid for you to help you find those places in your state. Once you've identified where they were, however, talk about them, visit them, and share them. Put them up there on Facebook. Take them to your local historical society and maybe make a contribution to their journal that they may publish. Certainly a wonderful way to do that. Number eight, write an article for your state historical society or state genealogical society, or maybe in a national society's newsletter. Let them find out what you have learned about that critical era, that Civil War era. This is the time to celebrate it because it was the beginning of freedom. And, you know, wow, we don't talk about it enough. And maybe because we're still uncomfortable with the fact that slavery took place. Well, yes, it did, but we came through it and we survived and we have thrived. So write an article for that State Genealogical Society journal and share with them some of those things that you have found. Number nine, identify some significant landmarks pertaining to the ancestral community. Maybe there was a particular battle, and some of these battle sites, if they were large battles, they've already been identified. They probably already have a historical marker. But do they have markers pertaining to the African American community as well? If they have you visited that particular site? As you identify other places, even including forgotten cemeteries or burial grounds, Share that information. It is so very important that you do that. Why take the secrets with you to the grave? You're researching this for a reason. You want others to see it. You want others to come behind you, and you want others to learn from you. Well, the best way to make that happen is to put it out there so it can be found. Number 10, create a blog or a social media group to celebrate the freedom for your ancestral community. It's not that hard to do. You can have one in less than 30 minutes. You can have a blog. And as you learn how to tweak it, you can put so much rich data that is there. These are the top 10 suggestions that I have that you can do over this next 12 months to honor your ancestors who walked into freedom 150 years ago. What a fabulous opportunity this is as the sesquicentennial approaches. I hope that some of these might give you an idea to embark upon a project. But the most important thing, of course, is to put it out there. Just don't find it and then hoard it. You know, how many times do we go to a conference and we see people walking around looking very intense, and they've got this binder, and they're holding this binder close to the vest, so to speak. Well, I don't necessarily want to listen to your family's story right at the spot while I'm at that conference, but there may be a story that would intrigue me, and once you write it, wow, I will be thrilled that you did, others will be thrilled that you did, and maybe even relatives of the individuals that you're writing about will be more than thrilled and very humbled that you will have shared that with them. Anyway, these suggestions are out there for you to think about in the next year. Also, let me hear from you. What kinds of things are you planning to do to celebrate freedom? How are you going to honor your ancestors who walked into freedom 150 years ago? Coming up in 2015. Well, my goodness, I've looked at the time and I had better stop. I am going to bring it down to a close, but in the meantime, of course, I love hearing from you. Let me see what you're doing, what you're involved in, and some have been sharing some videos with me, and oh, I'm having such a great time watching them. But a word of advice, YouTube can be addictive, just like Facebook, so loads of fun, but make it work for you. Share it. Connect with others who are interested in the same thing. And share it with the community groups, the hometown groups that you belong to. Someone is going to really be thrilled that you did share that. In the meantime, my goodness, I'm going to wind it down. You have a wonderful week, everyone. I know you're busy shopping, doing all the things that you do this time of the year. And staying warm, I hope, because it's pretty nippy out there, too. Also, those friends out in California, wow, major storm hitting your area. Please stay safe and dry. Prayers that no one will be injured out there. This is the time when serious weather can happen. So everyone certainly be well and safe. In the meantime, please have a great week. And remember, keep researching. Keep documenting, and always keep sharing what you find. Have a great week, everyone. Be well and be safe. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.